bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
The Labor spokesperson for marriage equality, Terry Butler MP. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm at the Rainbow Labor Conference in Brisbane right now.
Oh, excellent. Well, the debate has absolutely been raging here this morning, and of course, everybody wants to actually understand what Labor's next move is going to be. We've just had Tina O'Brady from Marriage Equality on air in the last few minutes, and he's made a very strong plea that the only way we will ever achieve marriage equality in this nation is if the political parties actually collaborate, talk to each other, and form an agreement. Do you have a response to that?
Well, I do, and look, TNN did an amazing job in the Irish referendum, and I think we're in a very different situation here, of course, because it doesn't take a referendum for us to get marriage equality in Australia. All it takes is a bill before the Parliament to pass to amend the Marriage Act. And honestly, from my perspective, Malcolm Turnbull is the leader of this nation's government. I don't like that fact very much. I wish we had one, but we didn't. He's the leader. If he wants marriage equality, he can have it next week. But for some reason, he's unwilling to do what's needed to deliver that. And so I guess the question really for Australians is, why would he set up an obstacle or promote an obstacle to something that he claims to want and to care about? Well, the answer is, I guess, what we really need as a nation for marriage equality to happen is for Malcolm Turnbull to grow a spine, stand up to the people who want to stop marriage equality and then deliver it. And we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till February. We don't have to wait till some other date down the track. We don't have to put the community through a really damaging process. We can just pass marriage equality. The question is, why haven't we done it yet? The answer is because the leader of the nation's government hasn't actually stood up and said, yes, we're going to do this. So I agree with Tina. It would be absolutely fantastic if the parties could work together to deliver marriage equality. And that's what I've tried to do myself. In fact, I seconded a cross-party bill for marriage equality in the last parliament. We tabled it twice. There was cross-party collaboration. I worked really closely with Teresa Gambaro, who was a Liberal member of parliament, on the drafting of the bill. I worked with Warren Entsch, who's a Liberal member. I worked with Adam Bandt, who's a member of the Greens Party, Andrew Wilkie, an independent, Cathy McGowan, an independent. So many people from across the parliament wanted to see that made a reality. But the one thing that stopped that from happening, the one thing that has prevented us from getting marriage equality in this country, from having it already, is the Liberals and the Nationals have refused to allow it to happen because they have bound their members to vote against it.
So, Terry,
and even
the Greens,
to vote against having a vote on it.
Yes. Terry, the Greens have already announced that they will not support a plebiscite bill should it enter Parliament. What's Labor's position?
Well, we've said that we want to see the bill, and frankly, the government's been talking about this plebiscite idea for more than a year, and they have yet to publish a bill or even really confirm what the question's going to be or the timeline. You know, they're able to produce an exposure draft of their bill to repeal Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act,
yes,
but they haven't been able to produce an exposure draft of this bill for some reason. We want to see the bill. We want them to, you know, we think this is a bad idea. The plebiscite, we've said it very, very strongly. It is a bad idea. But to ask us to respond to something that doesn't even exist yet, has not even been published yet, I think is a bit preemptive. But having said that, I've said repeatedly, Bill Shorten has said repeatedly, we are gravely concerned about the harm that a plebiscite would do in the community. I see Karen Phelps has published an article on this today. You saw Hannah Gadsby writing about it earlier in the week. You saw Michael Kirby last week talking about the harm that a plebiscite would do. Rodney Croom obviously has very strong views about it. Shelley Argent from PFLAG. People who are senior leaders and people who are just rank and file, just grassroots people in the community are saying, we are really worried about this and about the harm that it will do. So my question is, why should the price of equality be this plebiscite? Why should the community be able to be asked to pay such a high price for equality and the removal of discrimination. Why should the nation's parliament not be expected to do its job and deliver the removal of discrimination? Why does it always have to be put back on the people who are suffering the oppression pay the price to remove that oppression?
What do you say, Terry, to people who say the government went to the election with this as part of their policy, it's a plebiscite, and therefore they say, in a convenient way, that this is a promise they're going to honour? None of us support a plebiscite, but the question is, they went to an election, they won by one seat, but this was a policy they took to the election. The reality is, the Liberals are not going to abandon a plebiscite. Malcolm Turnbull, if he brought on a vote in the Parliament, he wouldn't probably enter the Parliament the next day as Prime Minister. He would have been deposed.
But why should...
By the ratbags.
Why should we let them get away with that? I mean, this sort of...
No, I know, but...
Well, the reality is the Liberals aren't going to change. Well, why shouldn't we demand that they change? Why shouldn't we say to them, they're called the Liberal Party. I mean, they're meant to believe in equal rights. They're meant to believe in individual freedoms. And they're meant to have a free vote on all of the bills that go before the Parliament. Why should we let them off the hook for being such hypocrites on this issue? I don't think we should.
Because we're queer, and so many of them like to marginalise us. That's the reality. The plebiscite isn't about giving people a say. We know that. It was a stalling tactic by Tony Abbott. Malcolm Turnbull did a deal with the Nationals and with the right wing of his own party to become Prime Minister. And, you know, his commitment to being Prime Minister is stronger than his commitment to marriage equality.
I'm going to challenge you. It wasn't just a stalling tactic. It was actually a disruptive tactic.
Oh, absolutely.
Quite deliberately so.
But his commitment to being Prime Minister is stronger than his commitment to marriage equality. That's the reality.
And I think that's pretty clear, frankly. If he was genuinely committed to marriage equality, then he would be out there spending some political capital, asking people to support him as leader to move to a parliamentary vote position.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not doing that. Why become Prime Minister if it's not to show leadership, if it's not to take on the hard decisions, and if it's not to make people's lives better?
Terry, Amy Middleton here. I'm the publisher of Archer magazine. I'm really interested in, because I'm in the community a lot speaking to people about marriage equality, I want to know what sort of discussion happens between parliamentarians and politicians on a human level. Like, when you all go to lunch, do you talk openly about your honest views about marriage equality? And is it something that people swing between, or is everyone pretty set on their views?
Well, look, politicians are people like everybody else.
I've heard.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
And people have different views, you know, and I may not agree with someone's views if they're opposed to marriage equality, but I can respect people who go out and try to push for their views to take effect. But what I can't respect is people who say they support marriage equality but aren't prepared to do what it takes to deliver it. And that is what I guess I find very frustrating about this whole situation. You know, Malcolm Turnbull is the Prime Minister. He became the Prime Minister. He wanted to become the Prime Minister. But if you're not going to do something with it, then why? Why put the country through the pain of a change? Why do all of that? I hoped when he became the Prime Minister that we would see a change in the way that this country is run from the bad old days of Tony Abbott. But I didn't expect for to be in a situation where nothing would get done. But when it comes to actually dealing with everyday members of the federal parliament, everyday backbenchers, everyday ministers and shadow ministers, you catch up, you talk to people on a human level, you can almost always find something in common with almost everyone in that place, which has been my experience.
Mm.
But the question is, what are they prepared to do about it? Mm. And that's the real test.
When will we know what federal parliamentary Labor Party's position is? You need to see the legislation or the draft legislation first.
Well, I think, look, generally I would say that I prefer to actually see something before being asked how I'm going to respond to it.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I think that, you know, the problem that we have...
It's never troubled the Greens.
That's a matter for them. But, you know, look, I think when you're when you're asked to take a position on something, it's quite reasonable to say, well, produce it,
yeah.
publish it, give us a copy.
Yeah.
In this situation, as I said, they've been talking about this plebiscite idea for a year. It, surely by now they've got something that they can put to the public and discuss. I find it, you know, myself, I always find that I'd rather not be put in a situation where I'm asked to give a view on something that the public yeah. hasn't seen. You know, across all sorts of different policy areas. So I would like the government to finally get their act together, produce the draft legislation for the plebiscite and tell the Australian people what they're actually contemplating, yeah. including the timeline. If they're really serious about this plebiscite, I mean, I think it's a terrible idea, but if they're serious about it, well, I mean, surely they can get their act together to actually tell us the details yeah. so that we're not, you know, we're not doing some sort of sight unseen expressing an opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's really up to the government to persuade members of parliament why this plebiscite should go ahead, given how damaging we are very concerned it's going to be.
We agree.
And I'm far from persuaded by the sort of yeah. fudging and dithering that we've seen so yeah. far that it's a good idea.
Terry, we've run out of time. We look forward to speaking to you or to Bill Shorten when Labor makes a decision on this, when the government actually produces a bill. George Brandis is probably too busy building bookcases in his office. So.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.